I don't know if you remember my little call to worship. It's not really a call to worship. We've already done call to worship, haven't we? Call and response. There we go from last week. God is good. All the time.
God is good.
Now that you know where I'm going, let's try it again. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Outline in your I know it helps me in front of me as well. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We ask, Lord, for your powerful presence to be upon us in this worship service as we have already experienced, Lord. May your word come through today, God. I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name that I get out of the way so that you can truly be felt and heard in this morning's message. In Jesus' name, amen. Jim Smith went to church on Sunday morning. He heard the organist miss a note during the prelude. That was not planned, by the way. I apologize. I apologize about that. He saw a teenager talk. It really wasn't. He saw a teenager walk. Out and was watching. I'm fading in and out again, aren't I? Maybe it's just my personality this morning. What do you think? He felt like the usher was watching to see what he put in the offering plate, and it made him mad. He caught the preacher making a slip of the tongue 5 times, and for me that's just in the introduction, by actual count. As he slipped out through the side door during the closing hymn, he muttered to himself, "Never again. What a bunch of clods and hypocrites." Ron Jones went to church one Sunday morning. He heard the organist play an arrangement of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," and he thrilled at the majesty of it. He heard a youth take a moment in the service to speak her simple, moving message of the difference faith has made in her life. He was glad to see that this church was sharing a special offering for the children of Nigeria. He especially appreciated the sermon that Sunday. It answered a question that had bothered him for a long time. He thought as he walked out the doors of the church, how can a person come here and not feel the presence of God? Both men went to the same church on the same Sunday. Each found exactly what he was looking for. In the year 1870, the Methodists in Indiana were having their annual conference. At one point, the president of the college where they were meeting at said, "I think we live in a very exciting age." The presiding bishop said, "What do you see?" The college president responded, "I believe we're coming to a time of great inventions. I believe, for example, that men will fly through the air like birds." The Methodist bishop said, "This is heresy. The Bible says that flight is reserved for the angels. We will have no such talk here." After the conference, Bishop Wright went home to his 2 small sons, Wilbur and Orville. And you know what they did to their father's narrow vision. Born again, born from above. Let's say that together. Born again, born from above. You did that so well, I want to hear it again. Born again, born from above. In this morning's scripture, we have a clash of 2 different worlds. Maybe it would be better to say that we have a clash of 2 different perspectives. One of limitless possibilities, and one of real knowledge, and one of pompous ideas, one of Jesus, and one of Nicodemus. In my illustrations this morning, Jesus reminds me of Ron Jones, of seeing the possibilities in worship, or the president of college seeing possibilities of humanity. Nicodemus, on the other hand, reminds me of Jim Smith, limiting the possibilities of spirit and worship. By the way, I hope no one here is named Jim Smith. By his own negativism or selfish, narrow-minded thinking. Or Bishop Wright, who was bound by orthodoxy rather than seeing the limitless possibilities of gifts and talents that God gives us. You see, I believe in many ways, each of us is like the Nicodemuses or the Jim Smiths or the Bishop Wrights. We put limits on God, don't we? We put limits on God and what God can do through the Spirit in the world around us. We also put limits on ourselves, which puts limits on the Spirit through us and what the Spirit can do in our lives and God's gifts that He has given us. Let's look now at Nicodemus and how he approached Jesus in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if you still have your Bibles. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night. Now, tell me something. If we come to someone by night, usually what does that mean? Right, we want to do something in secret, don't we? We don't want the world to know. So the leader of the Jews, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know." So obviously others have sent him as well. "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Of course, from our experience, that's a hello duh, isn't it? Well, Nicodemus, we find out from the reading, is a Pharisee. He's a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and again in 19 through 21, those verses in chapter 3, Jesus talk about how Nicodemus came to him at night. Well, Jesus, now if you look at the Gospels, many people will ask Jesus questions, and it's like he doesn't even hear their question. Have you ever noticed that before? I think, honestly, Jesus knows the real question that they're asking. And so he just bypasses all the beating around the bush and he gets right to the heart of the matter. Don't you think? That's what I believe Jesus does anyway.
Anyway, Jesus totally ignores Nicodemus' question. And the writer of John,
that's really bothering me. Is that bothering anybody else? The writer of John puts the Greek word anathen on Jesus' lips. Now, I say that because we all know that Jesus spoke what? Jesus spoke Aramaic, right? If you've seen The Passion of Christ, I'm not sure how they know that, but you've heard maybe an example of what Aramaic might sound like if it were spoken. So the writer of John puts a Greek word, anathen, on Jesus' lips. Anathen means born again, born from above. Born again, born from above. Wow, that's what I named the sermon. Born again. That was supposed to be funny. You'll catch on for a while. It's the difference between anthropology and Christology. Now, does anybody know what ology means when you add it on to the end of a word? The study of, right. So we have the difference between the study of humanity, right, and the study of Christ. Anthropology and Christology. Contemporary use of born-again privileges anthropology over Christology. In other words, many churches today use the term born-again as we do the change. We change. Come up here and be baptized and you will have a different life, right? The power is in us to change. Well, it emphasizes the personal change more than the external change of what we believe as what Jesus did on the cross. Does that make sense? In Jesus' words, anthropology and Christology are held closely together in delicate balance. We cannot know the meaning of human life without grounding it in the reality of Jesus' life and the corporate dimension of that life. We cannot know the meaning of human life without grounding it in the reality of Jesus' life and the corporate dimension of that life. Now, I know some of you probably are taking a Bible class at seminary, but the Bible seminary, a Bible professor told me on several occasions, if you hear something repeated, it's very important. So in the Bible, when you read something that's repeated, you know that it's very important.
I'm going to use this mic.